for ordaining, bringing into the team another brother. And there's three brethren that have been selected by the congregation. And as I look at these three brethren, I'm well aware that the giftings are different. And so we don't know exactly what the Lord has planned this evening, but we believe that he's going to bring into the team a member with unique giftings that is going to help balance that team. And it's going to be a means of building the congregation. And the other brethren are going to continue to use their giftings in building the church along with the ministerial team. You see, the building of the church, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," he was not excluding the members. He was including the members. He was including everyone that is a part of that local body. They have the responsibility of helping to build that church. And Jesus also said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And the resounding answer to that is, yes, he will. And it's up to us whether we're going to be faithful to the call that God gives. We know that there is the possibility of rejecting the call of God and taking a different path. But God is calling us to faithfulness. Reading now from Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Beautiful passage, isn't it? Everyone is a member of another. We function together. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the illustration of the human body. Study that sometime and just see how that the human body interacts. You know what happens when the human body does not interact properly? Handicaps develop. And we could talk a lot about that. So he says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." I see here when we are called to ministry, we're called to participation in the work of the church, we are to do it with a readiness, a ready mind, and a smile, and an enthusiasm we want to be a part of and give it our very best. And I think that's so important for every member within the body, that we give it our very best, do all we can to build. Now I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what Paul says here, reading from verse 9 through 11, just three verses. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ. There's a foundation that has been laid, and we have the privilege as people of God. He takes us in to the family of God, and he gives us the privilege of being laborers with him. Isn't that incredible? He allows us to be his hands, his feet, his mouth. He allows us to do the work that he wants done. That is a tremendous privilege. It's humbling. But it's also an honor as we do that. And so the church, as you're together, I just want to encourage you. You know, tonight things are going to change a bit. We don't know how this will all turn out. One of the brethren is going to be called to join the team, and he's going to take up some extra responsibility. But interestingly, all three of them are already very busy. So there's going to have to be some shifting done, I suppose. And some of their responsibilities will need to be taken up by others. But that's one of the beauty of the church. I remember when we had our outreach about 4.5 years ago, it was our workforce that left, and I said, what do we do now? Our workforce is going. And you know what? We had a lot of young men that were able men, but they weren't real busy because the workforce was there. The jobs were filled. Oh, yes, they were doing what they could, but as soon as the workforce left, we had men that stepped in, and they did it in a beautiful way. Now, granted, they did it a little bit different than the others did, but that's okay. We had that experiment in our vacation Bible school as well. We had some of the older brethren were doing the vacation Bible schools, and we kept noticing that attendance was dropping a bit and perhaps just a little lack of enthusiasm. And so we put in some younger men. They came with fresh ideas, enthusiasm, new things. They cleared the pulpit area and they set up a creation display and all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, we had excitement for Bible school again. And the attendance started rising. I say, bless God. When younger men come in and they bring with it vision, enthusiasm, energy, and they're willing to give what they have for the cause of the kingdom. That's where we are. We are laborers together with God. Those of us that are on the downhill side of life, we need to be willing then to affirm those that are coming and hand off responsibility in a responsible way and let go, if you please, and say, God bless you, brother. I appreciate what you're doing. We have some young brethren that are teaching Sunday school, and I just love being in their classes because they come with such good ideas, good insights, young men. And they say, we need to hear from the older men. I say, we need to hear from the young men, too. It is a working together. We are laborers together. The problem comes in church life when there's a competition that develops, either between the generations or within the generations. When there is a competition that develops, that is unhealthy. So we are called to be laborers together with God. I'd like to conclude with a story. It was March 2nd, 1944. It was a rainy evening in Italy. Train 8017 went through the village, the town of Salera, Italy, and everything seemed okay. It was a large train. There were 600 passengers on that train as it moved through the town. One o'clock at night, that train entered into one of the many tunnels in the mountain areas. As the train entered into that tunnel, something happened. There were two locomotives pulling the train, but the locomotives began to spin on the tracks. Now they had the sand hoppers, and they began to drop sand in front of the wheels in an attempt to go through the tunnel, but they spun out. The train stopped. They don't know exactly what happened, but when the rescue teams came and the recovery teams came, there were 500 dead bodies. When they finally got to the locomotives, they discovered that the lead locomotive, his throttle had been wide open, but he was in reverse. When they got to the second locomotive, his throttle was wide open, but he was forward. So there they were, and they stopped. Because of that, 500 people perished that night. That can happen in a church. When there is not communication and a commitment to work together. And I'm seeing a commitment to work together in this brotherhood that is commendable. I love it. I say, keep on working together. Keep on communicating, because God wants this church to prosper. He wants you to be faithful and successful in the work that he has called you to. God bless you to the congregation. Paul said to the Philippians when he sent Epaphroditus to them, he said, receive him. Receive him. Please receive him. Epaphroditus had gone through a sickness, and so apparently he was physically weak. So Paul says, when he gets there, please receive him. The brother that is going to be ordained this evening may not be the one that you had selected, but please receive him and affirm him. And the brother that is ordained should then also receive the other two brethren and in a good way communicate with them and use them as a resource, someone that can give him counsel and so forth. And as a team works together, there's going to be some changes in the teams too. At the minister's meeting, I said, you know, when a new person is brought into the team, it's a bit like a river, and sometimes you have a rushing mountain stream coming in, sometimes it's just a gentle rippling spring. So I don't know how this is going to be, but God is going to bring into the team a brother that is exactly what is needed for this team, for this church at this time. Receive him. So God bless you. Stand with me in prayer. Father, again tonight we give you thanks for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the way that you have led the church here at Crystal Valley in the past years and even in the past few evenings in bringing us to this place where there are three brethren that have surrendered and committed themselves to whatever you have. In open hand, they stand here tonight to accept what you will call them to. And I pray that that same open hand would be true in the life of the congregation, that each one would receive with gratitude what you are about to do. I pray a special blessing upon Brother Mel as he leads out. Give him clarity, give him wisdom. Pray that you would calm the nerves and just bring to mind the things that he needs to remember. Bless our evening. Bless Brother Ernie as he preaches. Then, further, may it be a delightful time as the church is affirmed and built tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Ivan. Thank you, Ivan, for that. I'm always blessed when I see Paul's analogies that he uses for the church. A building, a farmer, a body. Very fitting. And I know what it's like when there's a sore, whatever, finger, hand, limb, foot, you name it. It slows you down. Somehow that deficiency has to be made up. So I'm just blessed by that, especially as we think of what's before us tonight. Thank you for those thoughts, Ivan. We have here three brothers and their wives who have committed themselves to the call if they are chosen. They are not forced into this. We had some extensive counseling with them yesterday. They have agreed to this. So they have committed themselves to God's will, and we are about to give God the opportunity to reveal that. In front of me, there are three Bibles, identical Bibles. They will be placed out in front of the table before me. One of those Bibles will have a verse. The other two just have a blank paper in them. I'm going to ask John Glick, if you don't mind, take those Bibles to the side room and replace one of those blank papers. Same location, the exact same spot. It's right in the middle of the New Testament, Old Testament. Replace one of the blanks with that. Dathan, I'm going to ask you, if you would bring those out, arrange them on the table as you see fit, with the spine facing out, and wrap them up. Okay, brothers, you can file over in any order you please. Choose any one of those three Bibles. Take it with you back to your seat.
This charge will be valid and effective regardless of your faithful belief, and as long as the Lord grants you health and ability. Your first responsibility will be the leadership and then serve the needs of the Crystal Valley United Church, and then to the community beyond the church by the leading of the Lord and send you. For the congregation, please rise as we give the charge. I am teaching and Ernie Stolson one more. Ernie John, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His Church, ordain you to the office of a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I therefore charge you to preach the gospel in purity, to warn the sinner, to admonish the unconverted to repent, to teach, instruct, comfort, and encourage the believers, to instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, any sort of all that wants up in the gospel. Do the recommend evangelism and make full proof of their ministry. Likewise, give heed to yourself, walk circumspectly, read the words, meditate upon its precepts, pray without ceasing, and in all things seek to be a faithful laborer in the name of the Lord, continually teaching. For in the same way you shall save yourself and those who hear you. To this end, may Almighty God bless you, anoint you with His Spirit, fill you with His love, and lead you lovely in the building of His kingdom. We're going to continue with the prayer for John and Ruth and the children. Let's pray again. Dear God, thank you for John. Thank you for his commitment to serve you. Thank you for the grace that you have, that has been evident in his life. He has availed himself, and you have anointed him with much grace. Thank you so much for his love for the church, his commitment to serve you, and his willingness to do what he's asked, what you've called him to. So we pray now your continued blessing on him. As he goes from here, give him strength, courage. Help him, Father, to guard against temptation. Help him to be careful with himself. Help him, Father, to be diligent in reading your word, studying, and meditating on his precepts. Father, we thank you that you have promised that you would be near to him, and you would give him much grace. And we want to commit him into your hands, trust you from here forth. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Father, we continue in prayer. We pray for Anna Ruth, John's wife. We ask that you would, in a special way, grant her the strength to accept the call that you place upon her husband, to stand by his side and support, and to just be an encouragement for him. And also, as she takes extra responsibility at times with the family, we pray that you would give her strength for that. Help her to have a listening ear for the sisters in the congregation, a caring heart to minister to the needs around her. I pray that you would bless their home, that it would be a haven of rest for the searching and for the needy. Give them care. And I pray that you would care for them in a very special way. We commend them to you in Jesus' name.
Father, in a special way this evening, I want to lift up John and Luke's children, Juliana, Kaylee, and Sonia. Lift them up to you and ask you, Father, for your grace, your hedge of protection around them in a special way. Pray that you would enable them to receive this anointing that their father has been given, and that they would with joy support him and support their parents. God, I pray that you would prosper them in their relationship with you, that their lives would be beacons in this community and in this congregation that we speak for Jesus. Lord, bless them with a submission to this call in a way that truly glorifies you and is a blessing to our parents and to the church who guide and direct them. Bless them with a
Wish you God's blessing, Jana and Ruth. Certainly, God's grace upon you from here on. We have Ernie Solstice from the Silver Lake Congregation that's committed to bring the message, so we're going to turn the time to him. God bless you, Ernie.
Greetings of love this evening in our Savior's name. Brother John and Sister Anna Ruth, did I say that right? God bless you in a special way. With courage, with an embracing of God's call, you have truly been given an honorable work. I consider it a great honor to be here this evening, a tremendous honor for each one of us to be here this evening. Just simply the honor of being gathered with God's people, this local body of believers here at Crystal Valley and all of you here together and the congregations you represent. I feel so honored to be here this evening. And one of the reasons I feel it is a great honor to be here this evening is because I believe that God is doing a work among his people that is greater than any work that any government across the globe can accomplish. The work of God's kingdom. Amen? The work of God's kingdom. You know, about 100 days ago or more, Mr. Donald Trump was installed as our nation's president. And he has been meeting with people who are sought after the world over, people who are the media is enamored with and the American people are taken up with. But you know, the people that he is meeting with and what our government is seeking to do, in all honor and respect to our government. But you know what? The impact that they will have on eternity is very small, even compared to what has happened here this evening. And God's people all across the globe who are seeking to follow him and who are actively involved in local church bodies and who are making a difference in their communities, what a grand work to be a part of. A work that impacts eternity. And only eternity will reveal what this ordination here this evening will produce in eternity. This evening, John has been ordained to assist in shepherding the flock of God's people here at Crystal Valley Mennonite Church. And I believe that as you meet here, Crystal Valley, I'd just like to talk to the church here for a little bit. As you continue to meet here Sunday after Sunday, and as a local body of God's people, as you live as faithful witnesses here in the community in the coming years, I believe that you and all of us here this evening who are God's children are marked in ways that make us far more significant than most of the people that are in Washington, D.C. or in any government across the world. There's no other gathering in the world like the gathering of God's people in corporate worship. And I think we need to know that this evening. And I want us to feel that this evening, that as God's people, you are significant beyond our imagination. Not that we are so important as individuals, but that as God's people, we actually have the opportunity, and thank you, Ivan, for the way you brought that out, how it is a good work. It is an opportunity to impact eternity. No other group of people in the world has that opportunity. Only the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." And it's even more dynamic than what the King James renders it there. He's actually saying the gates of hell, the most powerful forces in hell, will not be able to resist the advance of the church of Jesus Christ. That is our call as the people of God. I just want to share some scriptures with you, and scriptures that highlight the significance of God's people in the world today, and how God has chosen you to be his special people, as God's people here tonight. A number of different points here that I would just like to share, along with some scriptures that emphasize that. Number one, you are God's own possession. You are a people of God's own possession. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or special people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are a chosen generation. You are a people of God's own possession. Tremendous. That in itself is a tremendous truth, that we are God's chosen possession. Not only that, but you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Before this earth, the universe was created, God saw the church. And God had plans for the church. God had plans for you individually. God saw this taking place this evening. And brother, God knew before the foundation of the world what he was going to call you to. God has a plan. God has he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Not only that, but you are destined to become like the Son of God. You are destined to become like the Son of God. Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Not only that, but the Church of Jesus Christ was bought with divine blood. Acts 2:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." That in itself should cause us to bow in humility. God bought you with his own blood. We are his purchased possession. The church is acquitted and accepted before the court of heaven. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You are a new creation on the earth. I'd just like to share these as an encouragement to all of us here this morning, or this evening, that we, as God's people, have a tremendous impact on eternity as we fulfill God's calling and God's plan for our lives as a body of believers. You are a new creation on the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are dwelt by the Spirit of the Creator of the universe. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Not only that, but we have been made holy by the body of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The church of Jesus Christ is called to eternal glory, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The church of Jesus Christ is going to inherit the world. The Bible tells us that all things will become ours. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of this world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You're going to inherit all things. You are destined to rule with Christ over all things. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And 1 Corinthians 6:3 tells us that the church of Jesus Christ is appointed to judge angels. That's something no king of this earth ever had the privilege of doing. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And in Revelation tells us that we will live forever. You are God's special, chosen, blood-bought people. We are kings and priests unto God. Praise God for the opportunity to impact a lost and dying world with the life-giving, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there any call that is more worthy? Any call that even compares to the call of God's people? Nothing compares to the Church of Jesus Christ. Brother John, you have been given a charge to take care of God's people, to assist the ministry team here in giving direction and oversight and leadership. May God bless you richly with wisdom as you embrace this good work. God bless you, Dwight and Ken, in a special way, Vivian. And want to encourage you as well to undergird Brother John. As I thought of a message for this evening, Brother Mel didn't give me a subject. I clued in with Ivan just a little bit, which direction he was going with his subject material this week and today. And I thought this evening I would just like to look at a few principles that have to do with pastoral congregational relationships. And maybe I think quite a bit has been shared already about servant leadership, about the responsibility of pastors. And I would like to just maybe tip the scale a little bit on the side of the congregation this evening and your responsibility as a congregation to your pastoral team. Church at Crystal Valley here. I know that many of the things that I'm going to share this evening, you are already doing. I know that. And it's almost like when I was preparing this, I felt a little like Paul to the Thessalonians. He says, you have no need that I write unto you about brotherly love, because I know that you're already doing this very well. So I just want to share this evening as an encouragement to you, an encouragement to continue on, an encouragement to bless this brother and his wife in a special way and to receive them. Just several principles that came to mind as I was thinking about this evening that we'd like to touch on. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, Paul simply says to the church of Thessalonica, he says, "Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us." There may be nothing more, or I'm sorry, nothing, not nothing more, but nothing more significant that you as a congregation will do for your leadership team and for Brother John than to pray for him. I feel so blessed. In our home congregation, there are times when I'm in the study Sunday morning and I know somebody's praying. I just know it. Not only do they let me know that they're praying, but I feel it. I know something's happening that's beyond me. That is powerful. There's probably nothing more significant that you can do for the life of your congregation and for your pastoral team than to pray for them. I know when several of the men in our church get up Sunday mornings, because as they get up, they get on the phone and shoot me a text. It's my turn to preach. I can count on it. Praying for you as you preach. Preach the word. Preach it fearlessly. We're praying for you. We're behind you. At least three or four of the men, regularly. A little while later, someone else. And that is powerful. I clearly remember one time shortly after I was ordained, I was struggling in the study Sunday morning. Just if those of you who are ordained here understand that we never get this thing of preaching quite figured out, do we? It's not something that eventually comes automatic. It's not something that you get in a groove and after a while, it's just easy. Each message is a labor. Each message is a work. And each time your pastors preach, they need to spend time in the word. They need to spend time in prayer. They need to spend time in just seeking God's heart. Feeling God's heartbeat for the congregation and saying, "God, which direction do you want me to go this morning?" It's a labor. Pray for them. Not only for the preaching, but in many other ways. But each time your pastors preach, they are making an advance into enemy territory. In Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20, Paul says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me." Who? The Apostle Paul saying, "Pray for me that I would find the words I need to convey the message God wants." The Apostle Paul said that. If he needed that, I certainly need that. "That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Yes, I didn't finish my story. As I was in, shortly after I was ordained, I just remember, actually I think it may have been a couple years, I was struggling with the message that morning, and I just felt prompted to call a brother in the church that morning. It was like 5:30, and things were not coming together. I called that brother, and immediately it fell into place. I was amazed at how quickly that message came together, but the Lord just prompted me to call that brother that I could count on. Be that brother that John can count on. Dwight can. be there, and the rest of the congregation, and be that brother that your pastors can count on. Second principle. In Romans 15, verse 7, it says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And Brother Ivan touched on this, receiving one another. And here Paul is begging the Romans, the church in Rome, to receive one another. Receive one another as Christ also received you. How has Christ received you? How has Christ received me? I picture Luke 15, the prodigal son, the father running to him with open arms. He smelled like a pig pen. He smelled like, you know, this was not his son. And yet, somehow, as he looked into the distance and he saw his son coming from afar, he ran toward him with open arms and he said, "Son, welcome home." That's how Christ received us. That is how we are to receive each other. Not at arm's length. No, you have to some things to prove here. I understand accountability and you know, we need to admonish one another and all that. We're not to receive one another at arm's length. We are to embrace each other. We're in the family of God together. In a special way, I want to apply this to receiving Brother John as your new pastor. Receive him as Christ received you. Not at arm's length. Not because he's the one you voted for. Not because of his charismatic personality, if that's what he has. I don't know John well. But receive him as Christ received you. Receive him as Christ received you. Receive him, therefore, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, Paul said of one of the brothers who encouraged him in his walk with Christ and was a partner with him in the work of God. He says, "Receive him, therefore, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Receive him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13 for a third principle in the congregation's responsibility to the ministry team. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, "And we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Know them who speak the word to you. Know them who seek to rightly divide the word of truth and to apply God's principles to the church life here at Crystal Valley, to lead out in those things. Know them. Know your pastor's challenges. Know his burdens. Know his limitations. Again, I believe you are doing this very well. I am so blessed as I observe what God is doing in your midst here. So blessed that God is shining a bright light in this community. Know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. I think knowing your pastoral team involves hearing them. It involves listening when they speak. It involves a lot of things, but I think it includes listening and hearing them. Know their heart. Know what their vision is for the church. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, to esteem very highly, the word esteem, I believe, means to respect, to honor, even has an element of admiration in it. To esteem highly. To think highly of them. That is right and good. And again, it's not because of John's gifting or your pastoral team's giftings. It's not because of who they are. It's not because of their personality that you esteem them and admire them. But it is for their work's sake. It is because of the call that has been placed upon each of their lives that you are to esteem them highly. But I like the next phrase, in love. You know, you can esteem someone, you can respect someone, you can admire someone without having all that much of a relationship, without having a good, close relationship with them. You can admire certain qualities in a person and still not really know them. But we are to, as you are to esteem them highly in love. That's relationship. For their work's sake. Not putting them on a pedestal. Remember, they're human. Brother John, your pastors here are not going to be perfect. They're not going to do it right every time. But esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. They've been given a tremendous responsibility. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Whose faith follow. Follow the spiritual example that you see in your ministers. Follow them, considering where their life is leading. You have, Brother John has been ordained here tonight as one who is among you. You know the kind of life he has been living. And each of these three brethren have been selected out by the church because you know them. You understand that the pattern of life they have embraced is taking them in the right direction. And the Hebrew writer here is saying, consider that and follow their spiritual example. Not as men who are perfect, but as men who are following God. As men who are exemplary in their life and commitment to Christ. Many ways that you can remember them. Many, many ways. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I think there's a three-letter word in the middle of this verse that is kind of the heart of this verse. And I think it's the word joy. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, that's to the congregation. And now the verse is even instructive for the ministers. Even though it's not direct, it's implied. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. They're going to stand before God and give an account for your souls. That's a weighty call. And it says, obey and submit that they may do it with joy. And there's something beautiful about that word there in the middle of this verse. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, sometimes pastors here tonight may be thinking, well, you know, sometimes things get challenging in church leadership. Sometimes there is... things that come up that are not fun. But in all of that, your pastors are to be able to do this with joy. And I believe, I just want to encourage you, John, there is much joy in the journey. There is much reward in the journey of church leadership. And I want to encourage you to never give up on finding the joy in this calling. Exercise that calling with joy. Because I believe when a pastor ceases to exercise his calling with joy, that it becomes unprofitable to the congregation. Because when a pastor is no longer able to do his fulfill his responsibilities with joy, the congregation does not feel the love coming through. And the joy is something that is not to be obligatory. No. Joy is a part of the call. That we all love to follow someone who is experiencing the joy of the journey, who is experiencing joy in his relationship with God. But much of that also has to do with the congregation. And so there is a reciprocal effect here that is just win-win. When the congregation is obeying, submitting, cooperating, and the pastor is committed to fulfilling his responsibility with joy and with love emanating from that calling. I think there's so much good that can take place when that reciprocation is active in the congregation pastoral relationship. So find the joy. Don't give up on finding that joy and pursuing that joy throughout your life call, Brother John. It's so worth it. And the rewards are so great when you find that joy in the call. In 1 Thessalonians 5:13, we already alluded to this verse, but I'd like to pick out the ending phrase in that verse. It says, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You know what a tremendous blessing it is to serve in a congregation where there is unity, where there is peace, where there is just good things happening. And that takes work. That takes effort. That doesn't happen automatically. That takes a submitting to one another. It takes a receiving one another as Christ received us. That's your responsibility as a congregation, to receive one another. That's a huge part of supporting your ministry team, is to receive one another and to be at peace among yourselves, that your relationships are prospering. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, being knit together in love. Now, I used to think that's kind of like, well, a piece of cloth, you know, getting knit together. And the word knit actually means to be driven together. You envision the knitting needles, you know, driving those threads together and making a beautiful tapestry. And I believe that is the implication. But there's an application that I like better now, and it has to do with, I don't know how many of you have ever gotten cut deeply enough that you needed sutures. And now they have it's been around for a long time, the sutures that, you know, you never even have to take them out. They just disintegrate, and the skin continues to bond together because there's life there. And I would like to think of this knitting together as what happens when a cut is sutured together, is driven together. The body cells are put together. They're brought together so that they can begin knitting again. They can begin growing together. They become inseparable after a while, unless they're cut apart. But what a powerful illustration of what God has designed for the church, a living organism, the body of Christ, to be knit together in love. And maybe we could view the sutures as being the activities that bring us together, or the life experiences that bring us together, that bring us into contact with each other, being knit together. You know, we can choose to have life's experiences and difficulties drive us apart. We can have disagreements that become insurmountable and drives us apart. Or difficulties in life that drive us apart, because I believe being knit together is a work of God in our hearts and a decision, a commitment to being knit together. I love that picture. Being knit together in love. Be at peace among yourselves. Again, just keep on doing what you're doing. God is blessing you. God has blessed you in a very rich way. 1 Corinthians 16:18 for one last principle. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul has a list there of people that have been a tremendous blessing to his ministry. And he mentions some of them by name. He mentions them by name. And in verse 17, he says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. They have refreshed my spirit. I don't know what they did, but Paul was glad to see them coming. Are your pastors glad to see you coming? Or is it like, oh, I wonder what his problem he has with the church this time. Are they glad to see you coming? Are they refreshed in spirit when you show up? Or when they come up to you, when you come up to them after church and you have a word? It doesn't mean that you always have to have nice things to say, but the spirit that is there, if it's admonition or rebuke or encouragement, whatever it is, do they know that you have their good at heart? Are they refreshed? Some years ago, quite a number of years ago, there was a bishop in one of our churches who was just weary with the work. Just tired. And there was a number of difficulties taking place in his life, things coming together that just made life hard. Nothing extremely abnormal, but just some difficulties. And there was real challenges in the church. Some members were making things difficult. Some challenges at home. The beautiful thing about this pastor's experience is that the church noticed. They noticed it. Some of the men in the church started getting together, praying for their pastor. And they were very intentional about encouraging him. They said, let's do what we can. I think we just need to give him a boost. And I don't know what that all looked like. I didn't hear about it till after the fact. But that pastor went on for many years after that. Had a very fruitful ministry in his local church there. Talk about impacting eternity. What if that pastor would have given up? And there was times when he felt like he couldn't go on. What if he would have given up and walked out? What kind of testimony would have that been in the community? What kind of effect would it have had on the local congregation there, the young people who were looking to this man for leadership and for an example? But some brothers noticed, and they said, we can't let this go on. And they began to encourage him. They began doing things for him. They began pouring on the affirmation and the encouragement, and after a while, he felt like he could do it again. Be that to your pastors. Don't forget them. Remember them. If you think maybe they're lagging a bit, there's probably a reason for it. Maybe there's something you can do. God bless you, Church at Crystal Valley. God has blessed you in so many ways. I'm so excited for the church here. And what God is doing has already done. God has brought so many sweet things into your congregation. And I believe you understand what it means to receive one another, to work together for the cause of God's kingdom. It's a work that is bigger than us. It's a work that is bigger than Brother John. It's a work that is bigger than your pastoral team here. But as the world observes you as a congregation hang together in suffering and in difficulty and in things that require the grace of God, as they see you being knit together in love through thick and thin, your congregation is going to advance God's kingdom in a way that the gates of hell will say, "Whoa, we can't stand up to this." God will be glorified. May God be praised. Let's kneel and pray. Father, this evening, our hearts are humbled and awed as we bow before you, as we've witnessed tonight your call being placed upon Brother John and his wife, their family, in a very direct way. What this means for the church here at Crystal Valley, and God, as we understand your intentions for this evening, and the heart that you have for your people, and in particular for this local body here at Crystal Valley, we just praise you. We thank you for your heart for the church. We thank you that you are infinitely more interested in the good of this congregation and this new pastor and the pastoral team here than what any of us can be. And we thank you for that. That as each of them places their hand in yours, you are going to bring powerful testimony and witness in the community here that will cause the gates of hell to shudder. Oh God, I just call down that blessing in the name of Jesus upon this congregation. From Brother Mel, Brother Josh, Lester, and Brother John. In a special way, anoint them, give them courage, give them grace. May they find your grace available in times of need. And in a special way, for John, as he adjusts to this calling, for his wife, God, will you bless them with much grace and wisdom and acceptance of that which you have brought. May they find joy in the journey and the rewards that go with this honorable calling that you've placed upon their lives. Thank you again for your great love for us, your people. Thank you again for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ernie, for sharing. I especially appreciate the emphasis on joy. I tell people I farm for fun, and I get some interesting response to that because most people don't use fun and farm in the same sentence. But to me, it's enjoyable, it's relaxing, it's rewarding at times, and yet it's not joy, it's not the same. It's not like this. And I think you'll find that, John, people certainly are way beyond beef, cows, and hay bales. People have eternal souls. And really, God's grace will carry you through. I like especially the verse in Hebrews where it talks about he gives more grace. How much is more? How do you measure more? What's the benchmark? What's the unit of measurement? Doesn't say. It just says more. And then Paul testifies, and he had a rough life, if I dare say so. His grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's more, and it's enough. I want to leave that with you, John. And welcome you to the team. God bless you in that. I'd like to give opportunity to our pastors here, Joss and Lester. And then, John, you, if you don't mind, come forward, give a blessing as well. Joss, Lester, and then John. Come on forward.
Welcome, Brother John. Been blessed to be here this evening and seeing how God has moved and revealed his will to the church, and that we can continue to move forward. And I too want to just thank everyone in this church and this community who have supported us in the ministry and in the church, and we want to continue to be a witness where God has called us. So God bless each one of you. Thank you.
John, welcome. May God bless you. I am blessed to be a part of this church. I've been a recipient of love, of prayers, of tremendous support. I remember my ordination, other pastors here telling me it's a rewarding work, it's joyful. And I wondered a little bit about that. I know, I agree, it is. I'm excited to be a part of that great work Brother Ernie talked about, greater than any government, any powerful organization in this world. It is a privilege to be involved in that. And it's a privilege to be a part of a church where people, everyone wants to work together and be involved in that. It's been a blessing to go through this whole process, the unity that we have sensed from the time that Joss first brought this up, of the idea of ordaining another brother to eventually replace him, and his desire to be able to have another brother take his place, his willingness to step back and say, it's time. All through this process, I've just been blessed by the work of the church here and the way that you have pulled together, supported us. I look forward to continuing that work.
Well, Brother John, I also welcome you to the work, and may you find the joy that is in the work. For Ken and Dwight, I think that God also has a special work for you here in support and whatever is needed here. What is it about the work that makes it special? I'm not sure whether I have yet fully understood the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and how that he, as our, is it right to say mediator, and how that his dying on the cross, shedding his blood, somehow has a uniting effect on every believer in Jesus Christ. We are, in a sense, blood brothers and sisters because of the great work of our Savior and our Redeemer. We have a message that is greater than any other document, and it is a privilege to be able to share that message. It never gets old. It never expires, but it becomes new as we learn. I can't explain it. In this past year, in my study, as I was reading of some of the covenants of God, and somehow something was opened up to me that I had never noticed before. And that's why we call this word a lively word. The Apostle Paul said that he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is beyond anything. I do not understand when I read in the scriptures that in Jesus Christ we become heirs and joint heirs with him for eternity. And that's only part of the message of this book. And so may God bless you as you learn more and more. And God gives you what you need to share the message effectively. And as I said this morning, that we can find ways to adorn the doctrine of God, make it attractive, that people are drawn together, not to us, but to God. God bless you as you share his word.
Thank you for that encouragement from all of you. We have traditionally in the past to the newly ordained brother invited all ordained pastors to shine his Bible with note of encouragement, a verse, whatever. You okay with that, John? I'd suggest you place your Bible on the table, and all you pastors, please encourage John with a verse, a note. It may not be a Bible that he'll study out of, but it is a treasure. So I'd like to encourage you to do that. If you're here as an ordained pastor, come up, sign the Bible, give him a verse to take with him. Also, I'm sure there's people here that traveled quite a distance. And I'd encourage everyone, if you care to meet John and Ruth. Please make it brief, keep the line moving. And if you've traveled a distance, come forward first. We'll give you priority. I mean, if you're heading home tonight, you got a couple-hour drive. You know, we certainly want to. John and Anna Ruth, they'll need that. So I'd like to just encourage us in that way. Try to keep the line moving. I'm not sure if there's an order. Maybe up the center aisle and down the side might be a good way to go. And as you file through, offer him your support, your blessing, welcome, whatever your situation is. Thank you again for coming. We are so blessed to be here. God has been good. His will has been revealed, and may we be faithful from here. Chad, wherever you are, is there a closing song for us? Okay. Let's stand.